Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Hollering, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Kathleen O'Keefe Conavis, but I'm sure I said it, on intuitive medicine will be joining us. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. And hello to you, Steve. How are you tonight? And welcome back to the States.
Thank you, Maureen. It's good to be back home. I'm extremely well.
Well, I do declare. Would you please tell us about what your thing is, what you do?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium. I give readings with psychicaccess.com. I absolutely love my work, and I'm interested in all forms of metaphysics, from numerology to tarot, astrology, anything and everything in the metaphysical domain.
Yeah, your mind's an open. It's just an open vessel right now for learning so much, I know, or bringing it into your life. And I appreciate that, too, as well, about what you're doing. You're welcome. Hi, Brenda.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good today.
Fantastic. Yeah. Can you please tell us, you?
All about me?
Okay. It's all about you.
Ah, yes, it is at this very moment. Let's see. I work on psychicaccess.com with all you lovely people, and I'm a straightforward predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and that's just kind of my thing.
And your thing is pretty cool, too. I must say, I've said this before, predictive psychic. You are, and I'm not just, you know, giving you the... I think everybody, yeah, I'm not giving you the business. Steve and Bobby are wonderful, but Brenda, it's amazing how you opened my eyes to a certain way of people doing their work, really, in a good way. So there you have it. Okay, Brenda. Hello, Bobby.
I don't know how to follow all of that.
You can follow it because you're the last but not least.
Oh, okay.
The best
of
the Hi.
The best of the last? Is that what you said?
We're going to have a good time
You're the
tonight.
Best of the last
no,
people.
No, I said, I know, but the last warrior in the world.
Oh, whatever.
I know,
so,
go on.
Yeah, my name is Bobby. Hi, everyone. And psychic medium. And, you know, just what I think that kind of says it all. There you go.
You think?
I talk to dead people, and I tune into you and to answer questions that you might have about what's going on in your life and stuck points and having that passion for creating empowerment in people. You know, there's nothing like that exhilarating feeling when that light bulb turns on, right? And that feeling of empowerment comes through, and it's just such an exhilarating feeling for both of you. So I love that.
Well, I think that's lovely. And not only that is you're a good family man too, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Steve, you know how I feel about you, so I'm not going to go there. So I feel really, I mean, everybody knows that.
Save that for the late show.
So, don't hold back, Maureen.
Steve knows how I feel. Okay, and then there's me, and there's me, Maureen, and I also work with amongst this wonderful three. Well, like the word the four. For psychics. Psychics that know it all. I'm not joking. Anyway, I work at psychicaccess.com as well. And I must do what I must do in my work. I do utilize tarot cards. I'm well versed. I'm self taught. And as Bobby would say, same thing, I feel good about helping people with their direction. I'm not a fortune teller, but I do feel that it's important from my own experiences as well, from just feeling that I am an empath, that we all have our choices. It's nothing that we cannot have free will about. And it's wonderful when we have really great clients, you know, that really listen up. Don't you guys think? It's really nice when that happens. Well, I think so.
Well,
it's
they
nice,
better listen.
It's nice
no?
when it happens. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't always happen. They, like, sometimes
no, it doesn't. Well, it's hard. It can be hard. It's lessons. Lessons yeah. that we all, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you know. Yeah, you know. Anyway, I would like to go on to our guest tonight is Kathleen O'Keefe Conavas, and I believe I said that name correctly, and Kathleen will correct me if not, but she is a 2-time breast cancer survivor who penned Surviving Cancerland, The Psychic Aspects of Healing. She's a phone counselor for R.A. Bloch, I may have said that wrong, Cancer Foundation, Q&A cancer columnist for Cape Woman Online Magazine, an inspirational speaker, mentor, cancer volunteer, and Cambridge Who's Who Executive Professional of the Year 2009-2010. Kathleen is an extraordinary woman who provides a clear-cut roadmap to the public carved of hope and healing. And Kathleen opens the doors to the inner journey, the one that no one can avoid, not even a cancer patient. So, you know, her courage is inspirational, and Kathleen tells it like it is, all the way from her first diagnosis of cancer to sharing her guides with the reluctance of the medical profession. So everyone has something to gain on this journey tonight as we have her on as our guest. And to check out, please check out her website. It's at http://www.survivingcancerland.com. And hello, Kathy. A warm welcome to our show. I hope everyone's good. Hi, Kathy. Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Maureen, for having me on. And yes, you did a great job with my last name. You actually spoke it like a true Greek. It's the Americans Americanize it with cannabis, but you spoke it the way my husband's family actually pronounce it. So kudos to you.
Oh, well, that's the first time because my pronouncing, well, never mind. It's a big funny thing amongst us, all four of us, because there's four of us co-hosts here, which you'll meet. But I always have to ask them, how do I pronounce this? But I got that one good.
Yeah, you did.
I'm really happy that you're here, and I've been really looking forward to the show because you contacted me many months ago. And I've noticed you've been quite busy. But, you know, overall, can you kind of tell us about how you came? I mean, I know your story, and it's an incredible, and it's wonderful, and I'm just thinking this is going to be a great show because people need to realize that we have so much inner power and of we can utilize back before even where there were doctors, before we were maybe thousands and thousands of years ago. But can you tell us a little bit about what made you come into where now what you're doing and helping and getting out the word, I guess? What happened with you?
Well, I realized that after I went through my journey, I realized that I had a story that I needed to share with the world because, you know, we're all here for a purpose and we're all here to fulfill our life purpose. And unfortunately, there is almost always a point in the process of illness where logic, reason, and medical experience can fail. And it's at this point that a patient often slips through the cracks, sometimes never to recover. And I ended up surviving cancer twice. And I survived by using something many in the medical field do not even acknowledge as being real. My innate female intuition. If you're a man, it's just your innate male intuition, but we all have it. And learning to listen to it again may save your life one day. I believe that children, we're all born with this intuition, and children display their use of it often when they play with imaginary friends, when they speak to themselves, when they tell people about their dreams, and those dreams seem so real to them. And then as we grow up, we learn to close that door and no longer listen to our intuition and instead turn our mind and our beliefs to strictly science and medical facts. And scientific facts. And I actually used my female intuition and dreams to self-advocate a course of treatment in my healing process of cancer that was often against the vehement advice of my doctors. And I always worked with my doctors, but I never forgot that I had to make the final decisions. So my story is actually about a bridge that I built between holistic / spiritual healing and conventional medicine that actually went beyond complementary medicine to a greater healing. There is so much more to us, Maureen, than just id, ego, super ego in our body. We're not human beings having a spiritual experience on the earth plane when we have prophetic dreams. We're actually spiritual beings having a human experience, because our bodies are just the clothing that we're wearing this time around. Our spirit lives forever.
Yeah, I call it the earth suit, our earth suits. Our earth suits is what we're
wearing. There you go, instead of space suits. Perfect.
Yeah. You know, I think I can really identify with what you're talking about. I also had been diagnosed in 1994 with cancer stage 3 with the whole schmeal about, and they said there was nothing I could do for mine, just sit and wait. And I was kind of having, it was disturbing how it was with the doctors. And I'm not telling anybody, again, on this show, I want to make it clear. I know Kathleen as well. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to doctors. I mean, I think they're all great. I mean, it's great to utilize that. But really, when it comes down to it, you need to use what we've already always had in us. What, like you said, we are born with an inheritance of psychic and intuitive knowledge and knowing our bodies. So with that said, do you believe, I guess what your thing is, which is fascinating to me, but what do you believe is one of the biggest challenges in the health and wellness today? As does it tie into your story of your dream or your prophetic guided dreams? Because that's where you really connected with through your dreams. Was that always going on? Did you have a lot of dreams going on before as well, like always, or was it until you were diagnosed with?
Well, I believe that our biggest challenges in health and wellness today is believing in what we cannot see, feel, and hear, our inner guidance, that voice that kept us out of trouble as a child and can save our lives as an adult. And when this guidance is at odds with physicians and the medical tests on which they rely, we should request and, if necessary, demand additional tests, because we are responsible for our life. And we must self-advocate. And my guided dreams saved my life twice. And I think it's real important to point out here, Maureen, something that you said earlier, you know, that you believe in your doctors and that we're not telling you not to go to your doctors. My guides, when they came into my dreams, they said, you go back to your doctors again tomorrow, because I'd already been there 4 times having 4 mammograms and 4 blood tests that were all telling me I was healthy and to go home. And they said, you go back tomorrow. And they gave me this little dinky white feather. And they said, if you verbally fence with your doctors tomorrow, you will get the exploratory surgery that you need to prove that you have this cancer. Now, they did not say, go find holistic Dr. Rama Lama Ding Dong. They said, you go back to your doctor. So my spiritual guides from the other side, and those guides and angels and voices, whatever you want to call them, they believe in our doctors. I think that what's happened is they've seen the shift that's gone on a worldwide stage, but also in the medical industry, where science is being revered as the alpha and the omega of everything, rather than a higher power. The science that we have in the medical field was given to us by a higher power, and that higher power realizes that, believe it or not, those scientific tests, those infallible scientific tests, are actually fallible. And so when a patient comes into a doctor and says, I know something is wrong, despite your tests, what I'm trying to do while I'm teaching patients to self-advocate is I'm also in trying to teach doctors to listen to their patients, who have not only all the questions, but they also have the answers.
You know, that's a good point. My daughter is a neuroscience major up at UCSD and studying the brain. And from what I've been talking with her, and you know, she's completely different than What I didn't go that route. But she, listening to her talk, and she's doing research with certain labs and such, this is a really good time right now, the shift that we're in right now. Actually, doctors are becoming more, they're fusing more with what you're talking about in a lot of ways, whether it be the mind or the test. They are listening a little bit more. I think as time goes on, we're going to be actually having a really great connection with our doctors more so than ever. Us, what we feel, we know our bodies more than anybody else. And regardless of the tests that are showing otherwise or whatever, think that's where we're
showing? Well, actually, what was happening was the original test that the doctors were using on what they call quote unquote the norm were not showing what was happening in my body, because we're all individuals and norms don't always work for like 20 to 30% of us, just like mammograms don't. But I think that what you just said, where doctors are starting to plug into the fact that there is more out there than just the science that's in front of them, I hope that when my book comes out, that they'll realize that I actually use their scientific tests that they could see, touch, and feel and believe in to show that there's more out there than just these tests. There's another level, another realm that is higher than these tests. And so that's one of my life goals or my purpose on life is to help connect these concrete doctors who are working on a concrete realm and pull them up into the abstract of, yes, there's more than just mammograms and just tests. When you've got a person or a patient walking into your office saying, I know something is wrong, maybe after they read my book, they'll listen. And they will find a way to work around hospital policy that really is in place for the hospital, making sure that the hospital keeps functioning rather than the patient. The doctor needs to be there for the patient. The hospital policy needs to be there for the hospital. But there's no reason why one has to be a wall or work against the other. There is a way to combine them for the benefit of both. Because if you don't have any patients, because they've all died, you're not going to have a hospital anyhow.
That's really true. In fact, you know, I agree with you with that. And also, I noticed that you've been on Dr. Bernie Siegel. Mm-hmm. Siegel, is that his name? Dr. Bernie, I call him. Mm-hmm. And it was his book that I read when I was diagnosed in 1994 with mine. It was something, there's no books out there on my thing in 1994, a melanoma. And now there's a lot. But it was because of a book I read of his. I didn't know of him. But what he described in his, I adore him. I'm sure that you feel very strongly about him in a very positive way. And he was the only person I could come across, even with not being in my situation or my cancer situation. He talked about how some people will listen to doctors. The doctors will say, you know what, this is it. You have this many years and you're gone. And people will go, okay, and they'll go. But what he all said, you people need to know, what he was describing was, there's another part where you need to really look at this. You need to not burn yourself out, but burn, live. And a lot of people will live, even when they were told that they weren't going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because, you know what, the doctors don't know when your expiration date is. If it's stamped on the bottom of your foot, the only person that can read that is your higher power. And the bottom line is, Maureen, we are all going to die. So if you're listening to this program and you think that you're going to live forever, this is your first wake-up call. Even, you know, Christ could not live forever. There's nothing on the earth plane that lives forever if it's alive. It must die. That's the rule here. So when you embrace death as a friend who you know will eventually come for you, that leaves you wide open to live every moment of your life until the time you die exactly as you wish to live it. And don't focus on death. Focus on life, because although, again, we come into the norms, although the norm may die after 3 years, you may go on and live for 15 and get hit by a bus and never die from your disease. There are no absolutes on this earth plane, none. We can make our own reality. We can manifest our future, and our dreams can help us.
Well, you know, I want to ask you, your dreams again. This is very interesting to me. I mean, I know that you worked with your doctor to find a cure for your. You had two. I don't know if anybody heard this yet, if I even said so, but you went through two mm-hmm. cancer, two times. Same, mm-hmm. same thing. Did you? I mean, I know you didn't only use your dreams as and the alternative medicine. We've already talked about that. But what if a listener, because I'm going on the dreams and intuition, but for me, I don't have dream. Well, I just don't know why I can't tap into my dreams. They're mostly for my stress issues of my life. But I know a lot of people can utilize their dreams. And so this was your thing. So what if a listener can't remember dreams? And how are dreams different, and what steps can they take to remember them if they're in a situation like you were, for instance, with your health?
Well, Maureen, I think that dreams in the dream world are unique to the dreamer. And anybody can remember their dreams. We have learned to forget them. Even a fetus in the womb at 14 weeks begins to dream. They can see on ultrasound that there's REM, rapid eye movement. Now, there are certain psychologists, psychiatrists, and doctors that say, well, when you're dreaming, all you're doing is remembering something that you went through during the day. So my question to them is, what are they remembering then? The only thing I can come up with is angels, because that was their last day up in heaven that they're remembering, and gosh, I wish I could climb into that little mind. So we all dream, even your cats and dogs dream. You just don't remember them. And remembering them comes with time and effort. You have to reopen the paths into your dream world. And with some quick, easy steps, I can tell you how to do that. And you can get started tonight. Anybody listening, get yourself a pad and paper, put it next to your next to your bed. And if you want to, put a dream dictionary there, because dream dictionaries are good, and although they're based on the universal archetypes and they're helpful, they can also be limiting, because as you, the dreamer, becomes more in tune with your inner guidance and your dreams, you'll learn your own dream language. It's going to be your own unique language with which you use to speak to yourself and your guides. But here are some things that you can do to get started, and there are six easy steps to help anyone remember their dreams. The first one is to verbally voice your intention to remember your dream before you go to sleep at night. When you lie down in the bed, if you're saying your prayers, if you say prayers, or if you want to do a quick meditation, just voice that intention and send it out to the universe so that it can manifest in the form of a dream. And yes, we have the ability to manifest. We create our own reality, and we often create it through a matter of perception. So if you want to believe that you can remember your dream, you'll manifest one. Second of all, early morning dreams are the easiest dreams to remember. So by keeping a notebook beside your bed, when you awaken, write down exactly what you do remember, whatever it is. If you're still having trouble remembering, lie back down in the bed in the same position you were in when you woke up and try to remember anything at all. Like, the third idea would be, if the dream is still elusive, write down your feelings. Don't worry about the dream. Write down your feelings of happy, sad, frightened, content, or anxious. That may help trigger the dream. And if it doesn't trigger it then, it may trigger it later in the day. Next, number four is write down a color that pops into your mind while you're trying to remember the dream, or writing down your feelings, because colors are important. And you're going to start having specific colors that will trigger you in a dream to know whether your dream is going to be prophetic, if it's going to be just an epic dream, and we'll get into those next. But then give your dream a title, even if it's the dream without a name. If some part of that dream returns during the day or a week from that day, jot it down on a piece of paper and add it to your dream journal. You'll know where to put it in the journal because you will have given your dream a title. Then over time, your dreams will become longer as you begin to interface with yourself and your guides. We all have guides. Remember, we are their job. We decided before we were ever born on this earth plane who our guides were going to be. They decided that they were going to be with us every step of the way on the earth plane. And when we come to the fork in the road, that's when our dreams really come through, because our guides have opened that door and they're trying to do their job, guide us. So meeting your guides in your dreams is a wonderful step to a more fulfilling and easier life. So the last thing is, if you're thinking about a deceased family member when you wake up, chances are really good that you actually saw them. And they can be given permission to come back and give guided information when we're in our darkest hour or a time of crisis or trauma. You're not just dreaming about them. We can actually interact with them. And they may even appear different to us. They may appear younger because they often go back to their prime after they leave the earth plane. They get rid of that old decrepit body. And they look wonderful. They're sexy. They're hot. And then they'll say and do something to let us know exactly who they are when we wake up. And we'll go, oh, my gosh, that was Grandma. Boy, did she look like a babe. So those are the, you know, six things that you can do to remember your dreams and help you build your dream base.
I think it's, you know, actually that is very makes sense to me. The dreams, once in a while I have a visitor. I have two friends that died 3 weeks apart. They were only 38 years old at the time. This is many years ago, but one of them came in, and it was fascinating because if it wasn't for him, and I found out it was another something that I had, a liver disease, I didn't know, unbeknownst to me, and he kept saying, no, you need to go, your name is being, it's kind of complicated, but what he did was, he gave me a message later on. It's funny, not funny, later on what that happened was he was a very stressful person. He died from melanoma. Actually, he was stage 4, and I was diagnosed first. I had my surgery and all that. But he ended up, it hit him, and he went down for the count. And the thing of it, his dreams, whenever he saw, came into my dreams once a year or something, very stressed out. He was a very angry person when he had a hard time when he died. And he was holding on too hard. But when he came into my dreams, it was always stressful. And this one dream, I was sitting at the thing waiting. I go, well, your name's going to be called, we're waiting for the doctor. And our names are both H's, like in alphabetical, you know how people are named. Mm-hmm. I've known him for 30 years. You know, in school, your name comes close to each other's. And he says, no, we're not here for me. I go, what do you mean we're not here for you? And I go, why are you acting so calm? He says, we're here for you. You need, what I got from that, and it was very vivid, that I needed to get to the doctor and find out. And I did. 2 months later, I found out I had a pretty serious something that they would have not known because it wasn't showing in the tests. And mm-hmm. it was, I'm not going to go through it all, but it was quite interesting. But now, sometimes if people can't have, I mean, with use of the body and your and what's going on with your body and like what happened to you, is that you wouldn't give up if the doctors, you wouldn't be here today talking to me if you would have just let it be, right? I mean, pretty
right.
much,
and
maybe.
You wouldn't have been here talking to me today if you hadn't listened to your friend.
You're right.
I had a very
You're right.
dream where a secretary popped up in my dream and said, the doctors are going to call you. You've let this go on for way too long. You're about to be called. And so I had to search within myself to find out what had been going on too long. And it was just things in my life that I needed to change. But again, it's a very similar dream, and that is a prophetic dream. You had a prophetic dream because
yes.
it came true, and it was validated with scientific tests and life events. That was a prophetic dream.
Yeah, that was, and it's very few far. Well, luckily, it's few far between. I guess I'm hoping. I don't, but you know, and it was coming from someone that usually is so stressed out. When he visited me before, it was like, come on, relax. It was always, but this time it was very calm. I kept saying, what's wrong with him? Because I had another friend that was, when she comes, she's like, party, party, party. It's always a different feeling, but she wasn't the one who came to help me get to the doctor either. But you know, I wanted to ask you, Kathleen, about when your doctor, when you knew something absolutely was wrong, I mean, and the tests were showing otherwise, how did you present it to them? Listen, I feel otherwise. I'm using my intuition. Are you guys, I mean, how did you approach that with them, considering their reluctance probably, I'm sure, to listen to that kind of, you know, You're not a doctor. Well, you're not a doctor. What medical school did you go to? I've been told that when I asked them about certain things with my cancer a long time ago. I was shut down is what I was. Mm-hmm.
I realized that these were Harvard doctors, and they were out of Boston, and I knew that the chances were pretty good. My guides did not say, go back to your doctors and tell them about your dreams. They said, go back to your doctors and tell them that you need exploratory surgery. They told me exactly what to say. And so if they had said, go back and tell them your dreams, I would have, because I would have assumed, well, this doctor is plugged into the spiritual aspects of healing and he's going to understand this. But they didn't say that, so I didn't do it. And I simply said, you know, I know something's wrong, and I want exploratory surgery. And at first, my doctor looked like he'd been shot. And he said, well, I can't do that, Kathy. You know, that's against my policy. I'd have to cut you open. We're talking anesthesia. We're talking possible infection. And it's against hospital policy, so no. And, you know, all your tests have come back healthy. So the answer is no, you have no symptoms. And I remembered the feather, this little ratty feather, that my guide had given me in the dream the night before. And he said, if you take this out, point it at your doctor, and verbally fence with him, you'll win. And so I took that feather out in my mind, and I pointed it at him in my mind, and I said, I need for you to listen to me because you're my last hope. And I need for you to do this exploratory surgery because it's the only thing that's going to show what's there, what I can feel and you cannot feel and is not showing up on tests. And it was amazing because it seemed to be the magic feather. It was as though a vampire had stepped into the room and glimmered him. And he said, okay, and went out to check when the next opening would be for surgery, which happened to be like a week later.
Wow. You see, that's fascinating. And also that can go, that goes with all the things we've talked about, all of us, and Kathleen, I'm sure you can relate. People say, you know, the power of thought is very important. And with intent is good. So whatever, you know, anybody else, they don't do the feather, whatever it is, your intent was good towards your own well-being. You weren't asking for something unreasonable, but you can explain it in a wording that they would understand. So by using this, anybody can use it. It may not be a feather, whatever it may be, but really being clear and direct, clear in a very loving, direct way, and he listened to you is what happened. Mm-hmm. It sounds like without any more obstacles with him saying, well, no. So that in itself, anybody can do that, really, if you have your thought is positive on and the intent behind it, not just because you want to prove them wrong, but you really feel definitely you listen to your intuition and your body.
I actually wanted them to be right. I mean, who wouldn't want their doctors to say you're healthy, go home? You know, everybody would want to hear that. I should have been doing cartwheels all the way home, but I knew from the dreams that wasn't the case. And if I believed my doctors, I would be dead. So, you know, I did the unthinkable. I self-advocated to be cut open and explored. And, I mean, that alone, people would say, well, my goodness, she's got to be out of her mind. Well, you know, I believe that if you ask for something, you will get it. Ask and ye shall receive is a law on this earth plane. Unfortunately, some people ask for something, and then when it's presented to them, they go, no, but that's not what I want. Sometimes what you want is not what you need.
What you need.
I wanted to hear I was healthy, but I needed the test to prove that I wasn't. I wanted to hear that more than anything in the world, but I knew I needed for the doctors to see that I was not healthy and to get on the path to getting healthy. And the best way anybody, I don't care who's listening, if you're listening, if you ask your guides for help, they will help you. If you pray to a higher power, that prayer goes through you, connects with your higher power within, the phone lines open up on the other side, and you're going to get an answer. And I'm not promising you that you're going to get the answer you want. But I do promise you, you will get the answer you need. Whether or not you embrace it and go with it is strictly up to you.
Right. You know, Kathleen, we're going to take a short one-minute commercial break from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com, and we will be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back, and we're speaking to Kathleen. I'm not going to say your full. Well, Kathleen is Kathleen. I love your full name, but Kathleen,
I would left like off to hear her last name.
Well, okay, Canavis.
Canavis.
I said it.
Kathleen.
Okay, Bobby
Canavis
was testing
is really
me.
Canavis in
testing me.
State.
Shame. O'Keefe. I know O'Keefe because like I'm a Holleran. O'Holleran.
Yeah, Kathleen. We're good Irish girls. Kathleen O'Keefe. Canavis. I'm a good Irish girl who married a Greek.
And I think that must be some pretty cool combination, you know, well, you know what I mean, think about
oh,
that
it
Greek.
Is. Yeah, it is a great combination. And actually
yes.
My husband is an author as well, and his book is going into movie production through Phoenix Pictures. They're going to be releasing some information on that soon, and his book is Pope Annalisa, which involves the psychic realm of healing and the metaphysical and embraces it all. It's a novel.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So you both, well, fantastic. You both married each other, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. And we had no idea that we were, either one of us were psychic or that we were ever going to be writers, because I'll be perfectly honest, Maureen, when I grew up, I wanted to be a Playboy bunny, not a writer.
Yeah. I know. You know what? This is an interesting thing. Whereas I think some other people here, this is not what this is not what I thought I'd be doing, but I must. This is what I must do, and that's usually the case with like what you just said. You never go figure, you know. But you're making a difference, especially with this. Like again, I feel very strongly. Our mind and body are so connected, but we do have to deal with what's happening. And I wanted to ask you because this is important too. And I was about the fact of it is. About the hospital policy game, and I think everybody should, and I can relate to this, but could you tell us, because you went through all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the hospital policy game, I don't care who you are, you're going to run into it. And the hospital policy is very important because it does keep the hospital running. But at the same time, its main focus is on the hospital. And unfortunately, it can tie the hands of the doctors. They have to stay within policy in order to covered legally. If they step outside of that policy, then they're liable for suit if they do something wrong. So although their heart tells them that they should be doing this, they know that legally they could lose their job and not be able to help somebody else if they step outside that policy to help you. So what you have to do is learn how to help your doctor help you by circumventing hospital policy. And the way I did that was by saying to my doctors, look, I know that something is wrong, prove me wrong, or making yourself so difficult to get rid of, which was the second thing I did. I was that squeaky wheel that would not be ignored. I was that bad penny that kept showing up on their doorstep. I refused to be dismissed. And the second time, like 5 years later, when my mammograms were coming back as being healthy and my doctor was reading them in front of me saying, it's okay, go home, you're healthy, congratulations, and my guides are saying, no, you're not, tell them to read the mammogram over here. What I said to my doctor very bluntly was, I'm not leaving your waiting room until I get that MRI. I don't care what you have to do, and I don't care what you say, I'm not going. I'm going to lie down here on your floor, kick my feet like a 2-year-old who's had candy taken away, and scream at the top of my lungs. You are going to have to call security to come and drag me out by my heels in front of everybody because I'm not going until I have that MRI. And he just stood there and looked at me for a minute like, oh, my goodness, I was so glad he did not have, you know, a baseball bat or something. And he turned to his secretary and he said, fine, find a way to get it for her. And he said to me, I'll see you in a year. Well, 4 months later, I was back because I was in stage four. But sometimes when you can't get them to circumvent hospital policy any other way, because he said to me, Kathy, I can't just give you an MRI because you want one. You have no symptoms. Your mammograms are healthy. This is our gold policy for breast cancer, you know, for finding recurrence. That's the way it is. You just simply say, no, I'm not leaving. Sorry. You find a way around it. You know the hospital policy better than me. You find a way around it because I'm not going.
Well, you know, it has a lot to do with the insurance that you have also, I have found. That
insurance,
it's harder.
Didn't have anything to do with mine. No, insurance would have covered it, and they did cover it. Didn't have anything to do with insurance. Hospital policy stated that if you didn't have symptoms or signs stating that you had an illness, then you don't get any other tests than the first ones that are given.
Right. And you know,
if they stepped out of that, then they might have had liability. So, you know, you've got to find a way to work with your doctor to get around that. And you know what? Like I've always said, doctors are in the medical profession because they love people. They want to help people. And I know that some of those doctors go into the stairwells and cry when they think nobody's around because they didn't go that extra step because they stayed within that hospital policy box. So you have to appeal to that their heart. And you say, look, you're my last resort. Help me. Do what you need. Help me. Get me that one other test to prove me wrong. That's what I would say to them, and every test that they would give me beyond hospital policy would prove me right.
So don't give up is really what people should be listening to. Don't give up. You bring up a good point because, you know, thinking there's some doctors that really, their hearts are broken for what happened. And people may not realize that, but I know that I've had some experiences where I've asked for something and they said, well, why? Why would you need that? Because you think, this was many years ago and I was just, I didn't have any support system. I was by myself. And I said, yes. And I was feeling really, and I was actually thrown out of a surgeon I was referred to and they threw me out. He actually threw me out because he thought I was trying to be Miss Know-It-All, and I wasn't. I was asking him, you know, why wouldn't you give me? It was some certain thing. And so I find it not all doctors and such are like that, but like you said, don't give up and be respectable but also don't give up because if you really feel strongly about your own body situation, there will be somebody that will be willing to listen to you, whereas you found that because you didn't give up from asking, correct?
That's right. And just like you said, don't give up. Go someplace else. One of my doctors dropped me as a patient. He, you know, because I would not allow him to do a treatment on me that he thought that was the policy of the hospital. This is what we do here. And I said, well, then I'm not going to have it done here because you're not going to do that to me, period. And this is what I want done. And he said, well, we don't do that here. And I'm not going to do that here. So I found another doctor in another state. But the point is there's more than one doctor in the world. Go someplace else until you find somebody you connect with who will listen to you. You know, and they may be listening to you with reservation, but they're still listening to you. And you find that doctor who will work with you. Don't give up. Be that squeaky wheel and self-advocate.
Yes, you know what? That's absolutely right. As many people don't know that they have that option or choice to do so. A lot of times you kind of just give in. And it's exhausting to do that. I do know that, but it also is well worth it if you feel strongly that you're going to thrive from this, you know, and live on. And I do know because it is. Don't you feel that it was exhausting for you to kind of keep going? But you must. But look at you're alive.
Yes, it was exhausting, but so is dying before your time. That's really exhausting too. And knowing that, well, maybe if I had done this, the woulda, coulda, shouldas that pop into your brain are enough to drive you nuts. And even with everything that I did, I still had moments of woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, as soon as I realized that there was that I could feel something there and that my guides were saying, yes, something is there, I'm thinking, well, should I have gone to an oncologist? Should I have just shown up on his doorstep? Maybe. but at that time I didn't? Or could I have done that without a referral? Possibly, but probably not. You know, so you have woulda, coulda, shouldas even when you're successful, but they're useless. Mm-hmm. Deal with the now and learn from it and take the things that you learn, write them in blogs, put them in books, and share them with the world, because your one little learning experience could save a life.
Absolutely. You, Kathy, we have, Kathleen, we have about 5 minutes more to this interview, and I'd like to know if there's anything you would like to focus on in the next 5 minutes to, or I guess we have 10 minutes, sorry. Mm-hmm. In 10 minutes, maybe we could, I know that, you know, I have some questions and stuff, but if you would like to, you know, focus on another situation, you know, something else that you feel that we haven't covered that would be helpful, please.
Sure. For one thing, I wanted to talk about the RA Block Cancer Foundation that you were mentioning at the very beginning. And it's RA Block, just like the taxes. And they are an incredible organization, and I'm actually a phone counselor with them, a crisis phone counselor. And when a woman has been diagnosed with cancer, she will call the RA Block Cancer Hotline, which is 1-800-433-0464. And those people that work that hotline will find another woman for her or another person for her who will have her exact same cancer, same stage, same age, and that new person will mentor them. So I mentor women on that call into the RA Block Cancer Foundation, and I help them through their treatment, whatever their treatment is. For instance, they usually hook me up with someone who has recurrence, because there are so few recurrent survivors. And one of the first things I tell them is, look, I live through stage 4, so I don't care what your stage is. You know, we're going to work together. We're going to get through this, because there are more people than ever before in life surviving recurrences of 2, 3, and 4 times. There's one woman who works there at the RA Block Cancer Foundation who has had recurrence 5 times. She's still alive. So, you know, you find it and you fix it. And the other thing is, I am going to be speaking at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago, the Health Freedom Expo 2012 in Chicago. You can pull it up online, Google it, and I'm going to be talking about all this to people that go there. I'm going to be one of the guest speakers. So if you're in the Chicago area, come and listen to me speak on this extensively. And I would love to see your face in the audience. Tell me that you heard me on the radio and that you came to listen to more.
You know, Kathleen, I want to ask you, does this, if someone would call there, I know that we're directing this at the female or women, and if someone was to call, and I did pronounce it wrong in the beginning,
the RA Block.
Well, if anybody was to call, do you just, and I think this is a thing that I think is fantastic, where I didn't have this when I was diagnosed with a melanoma nowadays, it's just our generation are dropping like flies, but that's the most curable thing. If you can't, you know, mm-hmm. it's just sad. But can anybody call that doesn't have, it doesn't have to be breast cancer or anything like that. Can a man, or is that available to anybody? Because I think that's support, that you need a support system or a community of such that you offer, like you're saying, you tell them or direct them where what would be helpful for them, right, is what my understanding is what you just said. And so I guess I'm asking you, is it reasonable for, like, let's say, because there's been recurrence of melanoma that comes about quite a bit, and sometimes it goes to the brain or wherever it's, and you don't catch it fast enough, sometimes 3 or 4 times a recurrence. Is that something that, for instance, I'm using me as an example, I could call, or does it have to be a certain, or maybe a man could call, or do you have no...
Anybody at all can call.
Anybody,
can call,
great.
Who's got prostate cancer. Any cancer, any sex, it doesn't matter who it is. You can even call if you are a parent who has a child that's been diagnosed. They will find you another parent who had a child the same age, same cancer, and they will mentor you. So you're never, ever alone. So called the R.A. Block, B-L-O-C-H. It's named after Richard A. Block. Call them if you've been newly diagnosed, and they will hook you up with a mentor.
That's fantastic. You know, that's something that I think is such – I think that's so important that that's being – that that's offered, or that you're doing this. Because, like I said, I wish I would have had that option, or I had that opportunity. I didn't know – I don't think there was anything like that I knew of anyway. My daughter mm-hmm. – nobody directed me to that area in 1994. But I think that's fantastic. That's really – that's a – it's very important to have support in the community, and it's like taking care of everybody, and everybody taking care of each other, and not mm-hmm. feeling so alone that there's opportunities and options and such. I think that's fantastic. And also, I will be, your website is on our guest page. And also, I will say it again at the end of the interview. And they can also find that information on your website, I believe.
You can actually go to my blog site, which is at the very top of my website, the big yellow button. And I've written mm-hmm. quite a few blogs about how I've helped people on the RA Block Cancer hotline. So you can read a little bit more about it there, and all the contact information. And Roseanne Wickman is a wonderful person, and she's in charge of that. And so that's on the blog site. Then at the bottom of my front page there on the far left corner, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm on all of them. If you go to my second Facebook page, which is not about me, it's not my profile page, it's about Surviving Cancer Land, and it really should say Surviving Crisis Land, because it's for any crisis you have. If you go to that page and click at the top to join that page, and you post anything at all that would be helpful to any other person. For instance, this radio interview, when it's finished, when you post it on there, Maureen, I will click the share button, and it will go to 26,000 people immediately.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I was on your website checking out some of these. It's a great site, by the way. So it's such a collective informational Stargate. been looking, watching too much of that Stargate stuff, but it is. It really is, because there's a mm-hmm. lot of. I just really appreciate it, and I really appreciate that I connected with you through Lincoln, as a matter of fact. And mm-hmm. this is the first show I've ever had, or I've ever done, or anybody I think, on this type of topic. And, you know, one last thing I wanted to ask you about, Kathleen, mm-hmm. Which I didn't, and I'm wondering about this. It's one of the questions that we were talking about. Do you think health trauma has a role in our spiritual guidance in dreams? I mean, I guess the trauma that we go through must.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it triggers it. You know, not everybody has prophetic dreams every single night, and aren't we glad, because it would mean that we were in crisis constantly and we'd probably burn out. But when we are in crisis, when we have a trauma, you know, your goal is to get through it, not to live in it, not to live with it. And so our dreams guide us to the end of that dark tunnel. Our dreams are the light at the end of that tunnel. And it doesn't mean that your cancer might never go away. Maybe it will never go away. But all of a sudden, it's not the most important thing in your life, and mm-hmm. you find that you live despite it.
Right, and you thrive instead of surviving. That's the main thing. I think thriving. And also,
which is my third book, and Thriving After Surviving. You just mentioned my third book.
I love the word thriving, because I always go, I'm a survivor. I go, wait a minute, I'm a thriver. And, you know, mm-hmm. also it occurs to me that you can't, after a while, some people just start defining their illness as who they are. And that can mm-hmm. be a real devastating way to go, because then...
Yeah, because your illness is what you have, but it's not who you are.
Exactly. So I say, I'm on board, I mean, and I'm a proven example of mind and body also, as far as what I can mm-hmm. bring on to myself, bring on the physical that comes from our thoughts, our mind, or some of the, you know, the things. Like you said, if you ask the universe, you will receive. Ask what you want, you will mm-hmm. receive. And that's exactly, I think it's... your story is just is not unbelievable. Your story is very inspirational, and I do hope that other people know that this is a very real. It's not just real. It's the only way people should go when it comes to something of this nature. When it comes to our individual process of what is going on in our bodies, and especially like mm-hmm. you said, we all die. That's okay. You know, when it's our time. But if it's before your time and you can do something about it, because of all the technology, and also work together with your, if your intuition is telling you something other, I suggest, why wouldn't people want to embrace that? Absolutely.
If you've got the choice to use both, take both. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, when given a choice, I take them both.
You know,
left brain and right brain, so no matter what it is, you can balance it, use both, and be better for having used both. Don't limit yourself.
There's nothing to be afraid of by doing that. It just, you're an advocate. You have it. Mm-hmm. So, Kathleen, I really want to thank you so kindly for joining us, and I really respect your knowledge and your story, and I appreciate you sharing this all with us tonight. And I really feel that anybody can listen to the archives later, of course, but I really do appreciate it. And I hope I'll connect with you again. I'd like to, keep in touch with you.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I think we're connected forever now.
Yeah, I think
that's
amazing.
Coincidence.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, and I will watch as more. I know you're doing a lot of other more interviews coming up, so I won't be in Chicago, but I'm sure I'll find you another way, maybe in California. But So thanks so much for joining us. It was really great talking to you.
My pleasure, Maureen, and thank you to all the people that were behind this. Good night.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good night. Oh, she's great. Okay, I would like you to know to contact Kathleen, please visit her website at www.survivingcancerland.com. Her contact information is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Okay, so I would like to, I really enjoyed her, by the way. I would like to take a moment to make a few thousand announcements, not a few. Though. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here, all four of us. We will announce that call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready, or a pencil will do fine. If you're unable to catch our last week's show on The Magic of Metaphysics, hosted by Steve, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends and your family and the pets that you know. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. We would very much appreciate it. Okay, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com. You will not be disappointed. It's a great site. And if you want to learn anything about things from the paranormal, reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development, as well as medical and intuitive medicine. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. I do want to add also, you can also look at a video of them, a short video of them, so you can see them as part of their profile, but in video form. It is also an honor working with Doug, and I genuinely mean that, and Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic, and I've never seen anything like that on any of the other sites, by the way. But all the wait a minute, I think I've lost my here we go. Okay. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you'd like our show, please invite your friends to join our lovely chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread that word. We would much appreciate it. And I do think our chat room is really full of great people. I'm not in there right now. Hi to everybody, but I like it. I think it's really good energy, and everybody's very, very lovely and really great to be around. So, okay, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And I'm sure maybe Brenda or Bobby might be typing that in there. so quiet. I feel like I'm just all alone in the forest.
Brenda typed it in. You're usually the one that does it. So
I know. I usually jump on. Well, I'm sorry, Bobby.
Well, you know,
we're here.
Five things in Mars, that would be great.
Thank you. I know you guys are so quiet.
No worries. We're kibitzing in the chat room.
Yes. Oh, kibitzing. And you say hi to everybody because I wasn't in there. Hi.
We do.
Well, and there's Steve. Hi, Steve. Where's
Hello.
Hello, there's Steve.
I just thought, Maureen, I wanted to just say what an amazing guest. And I know that we often say that to flatter our wonderful guests, but I'm so inspired by her. What an amazingly resilient and spirit-led lady. And, you know, she reminded me that everything does happen for a reason, because if you consider how she's transmuted her experience of cancer or experiences of cancer into a pioneering role to inspire people that are afflicted by cancer, I think she's an absolute amazing example, and it's an honor to be a part of a show with a guest of her.
You know, I agree. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Steve. You know what? I am sorry for that. I'm trying not to interrupt you.
You need to be sorry, no?
I'm going to give myself a caning afterwards.
But, no.
But, you know, Steve, I agree. And, you know, the thing of it is about her is what's so lovely is this is her own personal story. But you know what? I could relate to what she went through. Well, not exactly, but for what I was going through with my stuff, it was very difficult to have doctor. I had one doctor say, "You just sit and wait till it comes back," and I said, "I can't do that." And I plunged and plunged, and it is hard. But I didn't have all the. She's offering support. It was so lovely. She's offering a support of things, like she was saying, people could call up and they'll connect you. That is so fantastic.
I enjoyed that part.
Yeah, she's making a difference. She's really, and her husband and that whole thing is just fantastic. Yeah. So I really appreciate her. And I mean, Irish and Greek, come on, you can't go wrong. Anyway,
it made me so sad because I just lost a friend. Mm. And I could see from, because I was on the outside looking in, so many things she could have done and didn't do. But then again, maybe it was her fate, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe
I've seen that
it was.
Before. You do see that, don't you? And they come to you and they ask for help. And.
And it's then like, they don't listen.
What
they
can
don't.
I tell you? You know, if you're so far into your belief about what's happening that there are absolutely no words. There's only hugs and love and support from here on out.
I like that, Bobby, and that's about where it was, too.
Gosh, it's crazy. Yeah, isn't that? It's very sad.
That's so true. You know, and when I was watching my father, he wasn't having a hard time letting go. He was had a spirit of he wanted to live. And even though I know he was age, the bottom line is his spirit. He had such a great, and all the doctors he should have been dead. They thought he'd be long gone. But even to watch a younger person and who's more younger, which should be maybe it'd be nice not to die before their time. It is sad to watch. But you know, maybe they were supposed to go up. Maybe there's a reason why they go up there, but I do know with me, I was told a certain thing, and that was it. And I had a 3-year-old daughter, and I couldn't accept that because she had a father who was a crazy man, and I was going to leave her with him. So I did whatever I could when I had oncologists telling me, no, you just sit and wait for the melanoma. You know, it comes in my, what? I said, what? What? But things have changed since then for mine, but at least I just am so happy to hear about what's going on now with everything about like what she offers. Like I said, support is so important, and a feeling of a community, collectively having some stuff. So I'm glad that we enjoyed this. And so there, you know, I'm great. I'm full that you guys brought that up. Woohoo. Steve. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, 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 hello. Hi, Steve. Welcome back from your holiday. What is telekinesis? Well, I like this one. What is telekinesis, and is healing a form of telekinesis?
Well, telekinesis is a psychic ability. It's particularly the ability to have a physical impact. So, for example, think of a psychic that is able to use the power of their mind to move an object, to physically move an object, to influence something physical. It's also known as psychokinesis. And there's a brilliant clip on YouTube of an incredible psychic at the time in the Soviet Union called Nina Kuligina, K-U-L-A-G-I-N-A. And she was scooped up by the secret services and the KGB. And there's a leaked video of her performing telekinesis, which shows you how powerful the human mind and focus can be. She was performing telekinesis on a frog in one experiment, and the frog's heart stopped. And there was a scientist who was trying to debunk her work and saying that it's nonsense. And actually, he was invited to come and participate in an experiment with her, and she was focusing on stopping his heart, and he actually went into cardiac arrest. They had to stop the experiment, and he was fine, but she proved her point. Now, the reason I raised this question is because the physical, the mind, the human brain is capable of so much, and it is capable of influencing the physical. That's how we get sick, and I'll address that with the second question I submitted. But if you can move a glass or you can stop a frog's heart, then you can heal. And we need to remember how powerful we are, and remember that we can heal. We can heal our physical bodies. It is possible.
Yes, you know my thing was PK, well, the psychokinetics, how I got to my work, and UCLA took me on and did their thing. But mine was, I didn't have control of what was going on, but what did happen to me, I became ill. I know of Nina very well, who you're speaking of, and she's unbelievable. I think she's passed away now.
She did pass.
Yeah, and she was phenomenal, and she was something. But did you also, with her, she was getting some very, it was really hard on her body what was going on. She was having some very high blood pressure, she was having heart problems, because that again goes in our mind and body, because for me, when psychokinetics was all over the place, I mean, everything was going haywire. I became 90 pounds, which I didn't try to get, you know, I was on a diet, and I was having heart problems, which they gave me medication, and suddenly I went off of it. I never had it again. I was having severe, all these things were happening to me, but because those are negative things, but with all that energy, it's true, Steve, you can put, because I didn't know at the time, everything's unknown, I don't know what's going on with me. It was before I got to this work, but that was part of my journey. And I do know, if I can do all the stuff that brings the negative part of my body, being able to channel it into a positive, definitely, that is definitely a form of healing, you know? And not that I want a frog's heart to stop, but I do. But I do know I was having a lot of physical problems. As Nina, I'm very sure of this. They were going through a lot of physical strain. It's very intense. Our energy is energy.
It is intense. And doing psychic work, doing healing, doing mediumship, it's electromagnetic work, and it does. If it's not properly conducted, it does have its toll upon the physical body. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because if you look back in time at some of the really famous mediums, the females particularly were often very large physically and had problems controlling their weight. And it does have an impact. Well, that's why we need to learn much more about psychic ability, telekinesis, mediumship, because we need to be mindful of the health consequences.
And also, like with my daughter, like I bring her up again, because she's the next generation of the neuroscience, and she's getting in research to do with meditation, and the mind is not the, we're not talking about just the brain, she's studying the brain, but the mind is very clear. So which her thing is, I think she'll make a big difference with the newer medical profession that will go on about our mind and how we need to be able to contain and so on. And I think things are going to start changing. I think it's part of the great change of 2012 too, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
I do declare. Thanks, Steve. Hello, Brenda.
Hello.
And I'm not going to do the accent of Bobby. Hey, Brenda. No, what?
What accent?
What up, Bobby?
Hey, Brenda, how you doing, baby? What's up?
See, I like that one. That was just kind of like 70s in the groove thing.
Screw your English accent, Steve.
What up with that? Hey, Brenda, what up with some of the tools of intuitive healing? No, really, what are some of the tools of intuitive healing?
Well, you know, she talked about them. You know, I was going to go into the whole dream thing because I'm very much, I do that a lot in my work. I dream at will, like, or I go into a dream, or my mother was clairvoyant, and when she, as a kid, I used to say to her, I go, you know, what about this, and what am I going to do with this? She goes, you know what, let me look into it. And what she meant was, you know, kind of the same thing that I do when I go to sleep. If I've got something on my mind, I want to find an answer, especially if it's something physical or something like that. I'll look into it. I'll go into the dream and call up something from the superconsciousness. I think that the most powerful tool, she was talking about it, is our connection with the superconsciousness. And then that's in the easiest way to access it if you're not psychic is through the dream state. And, you know, taking notes and, you know, and actually asking it and asking our bodies too, because, you know, and I've experienced this many times, not only with myself, but when, because first of all, I don't go to doctors because I think they're full of crap. I go to the acupuncturist, and I used a very, you know, that's just my approach. I believe, you know, if I want a diagnosis, maybe I'll go, you know, if it's something that I need a diagnosis for. But when I go to the healing, I want to get healed. And so I know there's some wonderful doctors out there, but that's just my choice. But a lot of times we know, because we live with ourselves, we know what's going on with us more than the doctors do, but we have to listen to it. We don't always do that. And I think that when people are in a state of fear about a diagnosis, like, you know, cancer or something like that, they can't see clearly into what's going on with their bodies. Do you see what I mean? They're just they're in survival mode, and so they will just listen blindly to, you know, being. It's just like my friend, and I believe she was chemoed to death.
Oh.
There was nothing left of her. She had nothing to fight back with after the treatment.
No, that is true. That is true, and you know, I do feel that. You can ask, you know, before your dreams, but I do get also, like I said, with me, it was a matter of I can't leave my daughter, and I don't care what if they said I had 2% after 5-year rate of survival. I don't care. I can't do that. I can't do that. I kept saying she can't do. I can't be without her. She won't be right without me. Well, I was right. Because look at her now. No, but it really was something. But then I was struggling with it because of, it's not that, like I said, I don't talk about belief so much. It's all I know is what I know. And I do know that I was able to create a lot of negativity in my body short term. It would go and come, you know, like I said. But the next thing you know, I agree with that, definitely. It's, and it's sad.
It, the tools, you know, to have a positive attitude, because it's so much easier to be down in the dumps than to, you know, start your day with on a real positive note.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that really is powerful. The positive energy, keeping that up, you know, infusing your body, any kind of chakra therapy, because the whole body is, you know, the spinal chakras, and I know we kind of talked about those a little bit on the show before, the energy centers in the body and along mm-hmm. the spine. If we can meditate on cleansing and in like empowering those, it goes a long way to for a lot of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel that it works.
It does.
It works, and why not, Bobby? After Brenda, Bobby, BB, Bobby.
Yes, darling.
Hi, Bobby. Bobby, have you ever had an experience where you yourself, even I'm not saying it has to be, you know, cancer's the C word or anything else, have you come across your own personal experience, or you talked to Brenda how you have had friends as well as you noticed, but anything about you personally, what do you feel about, you know,
not personally, you know, I've got it's interesting. I mean, you asked that, and at once I say no, but and then I just remembered that I actually do have something, which just shows you where my mind is about it. I don't focus on it. I don't concentrate on it or think about it or think of where it's going. But yeah, I've been diagnosed with something, and when I found out, I was shocked because of how I live my life and things like that. I never would have guessed that I had this ailment. And when I found out about it, you know, I went through a couple of days where, you know, you like you do, and you know, thought about it, thought about what it meant and that type of thing. And then I forget about it. I you know, send healing when I feel that I need it, and if I don't, I don't. And I just kind of go through it. I'm with Steve 100% that, you know, we can control that, or we can certainly not have, you know, pinch ourselves off from wellness. We can be well and let all of that take its course. But unfortunately, there's so much belief around the fact that we can't make ourselves better. You get cancer, you're going to die. There's a lot of people that feel that way. Not everyone, but a lot of people.
Yeah,
there are people. Unfortunately, you've got more people that believe in that than they do believe in their wellness. And you know, what I say may sound contradictory, and it is to a certain degree, but I believe that you know, that absolutely we can make ourselves better and make ourselves whole and allow all of that energy to dissipate whatever the disease is, and that we can cause that disease. Somebody had said in the chat room earlier that we all have, you know, they had heard anyway, that we all have cancer in us. It just takes something to ignite it. I don't know if I believe that. I think that we all have paths of least resistance that lie in us, that if we don't take care of ourselves and we stress and we're not dealing with life in an appropriate way, then it will ignite whatever it is in some of us, cancer, heart attacks, whatever. But I also know that sometimes it's not, the body is not a direct reflection of the state of the mind, because there have been some very enlightened, Maharishi died of cancer, and it has nothing to do with his state of mind.
Right.
So sometimes bodies do just get sick. We're biological entities, and that just happens, and so what? So I think there's too much emphasis on it. But you do have people who are put here on this earth, like our guest, who went through it, did what she did, and now she mentors. I think absolutely necessary to our society, you know. But does it have to be like that? No. It just is in some cases, isn't it? There's people who come down here, go through what they go through, so that she can teach the people who aren't fully into the belief that they can heal their bodies or that they don't have to get a sickness. But it is very sad, because I have had people, you know, who have taken my classes and such like that, and I've just seen them just, you know, ride the ride and get better for a while, and then attitude and everything just goes to pot, and then next thing it's full blown, and all it is just a matter of time now. And it's very difficult to watch, because they'll also come to galleries and they'll ask me about how to heal this, or is there a chance, and all that type of stuff, and you walk them through as best you can, but you know, we are only as effective as people are willing to listen. You know, you can have all the answers in the world, but if people shut you out or just still get mulled up in what it is they choose to believe, then it's ineffective. You know, it's very difficult. This is one of those subjects, you know, that's kind of tough to help people out with. Isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think that we're all becoming a little bit more self-aware and observant to our own selves. And this, again, is about 2012. Yeah, I think that's happening. With our guests we have in the show, I kind of been feeling like it's been involved. Well, I'm here to say. I'm here to say, you know what, we're going to take calls now, and I think we'll do Bobby.
Oh, my gosh, it's me? Oh, my gosh.
Bobby has a call from North Carolina. You have a question? No, Bobby, North Carolina.
Going to get a reading. Okay, North Carolina.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Lie now, I will know.
Okay, my name is Kelly, and
I'm really
calling.
Doing well?
I'm sorry?
I was just teasing. Are you really doing good?
Okay. I am. I'm doing good. I'm a little distressed, but I'll get over it. I'll be all right.
Okay, so who's this?
I'm
what's your first name?
Calling about a guy.
Okay.
That we've kind of backed off from each other, but it's driving me crazy. I just have this strong feeling that we're going to be romantically back together again. I'm taking his dog this weekend. I need to know if he's going to be with me romantically even if it's not forever, I just need to know, are we going to do this or not? I need to know.
I think that you will do that again, be together romantically again, but I also think that you're going through a lot of emotion right now waiting for that to happen. And you need to take care of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? It's all, are they going to call me and will they be here? And God, that just sucks, doesn't it? Because you're just putting everything out there and it's really tough. And you just have to learn that you need to be okay. And I know you've heard this before. I'm not telling you anything new, but you need to be okay whether or not he calls or you guys get romantically involved or that type of thing. Because sometimes you're wanting so much for that to happen that the very wanting of it is actually what pushes it away. Do you see what I mean? So he can feel it. Your partner, friend, whoever around you can feel that energy, even though you're not specifically saying anything. They can feel the pull in that direction. I tell you right now, he's not one that likes to be pulled. It's because of his that's his nature, right? I mean, not only is he a guy, but I'm talking about him specifically. That's just his character makeup. You gnaw at him or pull him in a certain direction, and he just is more to walk away than to sit there and talk about it. So,
and I'm not one to do that. He knows that too.
So. Right. And so the type of feeling, again, that you're really wanting to pull him in, really wanting him to be near, is that very feeling that also pushes him away. And then that drives you more crazy because you feel him pulling away. And that activates you, and you see it just kind of bounces back and forth. So two things that I'd recommend. Yes, the psychic answer is I do think you both, you really haven't stopped, even though I know there's a pause. You know, in a symphony, the music stops, but the event is not over, right? There's still more songs to play. There's just a pause. But that the symphony still continues, doesn't it? So I feel in your relationship that you're talking about, that even though it's stopped just now, it's really not over because he still thinks of you romantically, you still think of him in that way. So you both are still connected. It's just the physicality has stopped. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Right. Yes, but...
Is it going to go anywhere?
Here comes a but. Well, this kind of pattern will continue for a little while. I want to tell you, yes, next time you guys will get together, that'll be the one, and it'll finally stick. But this seems to be a pattern between the two of you. Not because of you, I feel. You're like right there. Hello, I'm here, romantically involved, let me know. And he's the one that keeps going back and coming forward and going back and coming forward, you know? And... I wish I could see a change in him, but part of the reason he keeps doing what he does is because he hasn't completely figured life out yet. I mean, he still has these different things that he wants to do. Maybe this will work out and finally be my ticket, you know, or, oh, that didn't work, so I go over here and that'll be my ticket. And so it really plays havoc on his love life. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. You could do that with your life and still have a romantic relationship, but most guys don't know that. So... I see, unfortunately, this pattern may be kind of continuing for a while. And that would put you in a decision-making mode of, are you going to stick around until he figures it out? You know? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to hear.
It is.
I know, I'm sorry.
You don't know how long it's going to happen, Bordy.
You know, I want to be honest with you, and I don't want to fill you full of fluff. And you know, I just want to be honest because this is your life.
Yeah, that's
and,
good. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So here's the best thing that I recommend. Then I have to let you go so we can get to some of our other callers.
Okay. But
the best thing I would recommend for you to do is to be okay. To love him like you do and offer that love without expecting or wanting anything in return. Like, don't make your love dependent on if he comes around again or not. You already love him and he's not coming around.
Right.
And then you love him when he does come around. So your love is there, regardless. So just allow yourself to feel what you already feel, regardless of what he's going to do. Then two things happen. He's going to feel less pull. You're going to feel less suffering. And then things will play out the way that they do. But you don't have to be like you are right now. Because, again, I know that feeling. And it's very difficult. You know, it drives you crazy, dumb guys.
Yeah.
You know, boys are dumb.
I know. So, I'll be fine. I appreciate your time and your help.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it does help, and let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Speedy, you bet. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And bye. Thank you, Bobby. That was lovely. And Brenda. Brenda has a call from North Carolina as well. Go figure.
Hi, North Carolina. You there? Hello? Okay.
She's there. He's there. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll find someone else. Another plant. Okay. He's working. Oh, he's working on it. Okay. The Almighty behind the curtain.
The all-knowing.
Behind the curtain. Oz. We like Oz. We like being amongst the wizards. And don't start singing this. Okay, if I only had a brain, Bobby, go on.
Oh.
No. We don't want to hear it.
Okay, well, we're just going to wait, and we'll just talk about me. No. it's always about me. Okay, or it can be always about you guys.
So talk about what do you guys feel on, you know, we've talked about, Brenda and I hit on it briefly, about people who are going through, we watch this happening, trying to give advice. What do you think is the best way for somebody who's faced with a loved one that has a, air quote, terminal cancer? What's the best way for them to support that person? What do you believe, or what do you think?
Positive.
But that's tough, isn't it, when you're spinning around? And, of course, I'm just baiting you, of course, aren't I?
Yeah, I know you're baiting me. I know the bait job.
But that's tough, isn't it? So somebody says try to be positive, but they're all wrapped around, oh, my God, I'm losing this person. Look at them, watching them waste away. It's very difficult, isn't it, to do that? Yeah. But now I don't think we get an answer to that because...
I think North Carolina is ready for their call.
I am here. I'm sorry. I don't know what was wrong earlier. But hi, Brenda.
Hi there, honey. What can I do for you tonight?
Hi, this is Jenny. First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much, all of you, for the work that you guys do. It's incredible honor. And I'd just like to thank you all. I was going to ask about a guy, I guess. We've been kind of steady for a couple months now, but I'm not sure where it's going. And I'm not sure also with some of the changes that are occurring with my job and stuff. So I was wondering if you could give me some insight into where it's headed.
Okay, well, the first thing I see is it's not time to start analyzing this relationship at all. This is the time for fun and romance, and if I was to look into his man brain, that's where he is right now. So it's not the time to start questioning, how do you feel about me? Where are we going with this? Blah, blah, blah. No, because this is more of the rose-colored glasses time. I do believe that you are going to hear his truth. I do believe that by the end of the summer, he's choosing his time carefully, and he's going to tell you how he feels about you. And I do believe that his feelings are going to be strong. It's just that, you know, I feel it's a little bit delicate right now. I mean, don't push. It's not the time to push. As far as your work situation, are you looking for a new job? Because I see another money situation coming up for you.
Yeah, I am looking, and I guess the whole relocation aspect kind of might throw things off with him a bit. And I don't know if that's why, you know, we aren't becoming serious, because... I might be changing
because of the relocation. Changing. You know, this is interesting. I know you say that you feel like you're going to have a relocation, but when I look into it, I feel that there's going to be a balance, because I do see the two of you still together at the end of 2 months. So you will find a way to balance this, and it may not be the relocation that you think you're getting.
Okay.
Seriously. So it feels because I see the two of you moving, you know, deeper into the relationship at the end of 2 months. So you are going to have a renewal with work, with your work situation, but I really don't see that it's going to be the traumatic thing that you think, like move away and you're going to lose in contact with your man. I just don't see it.
Okay. Do you see any reason why he's kind of holding back?
It's too soon.
Kind of taking it
he doesn't know what he wants yet.
He's slower than most, I guess, guys I've dated.
Let him be. He's into the fun and the romance, and it's, and you know, as such, he sees you, and he wants to enjoy this relationship, get to know you that way. It's got to be at least 3 to 4 months before I feel that he's gonna, you know, you're gonna start to, you know, have a clue on how he feels, because right now he doesn't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, honey.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. And Steve, you have a call from DIYG.
From what?
Just like from DIYGY. That's
okay. Right, who's calling? Hello?
It's Shauna.
Hi, Shauna, how are you?
Hello.
How's it going, Shauna?
Hello.
Can you hear
Hi,
me, Shauna?
Good, you? Good,
can you hear
you?
Me?
Okay.
Can you hear me, Shauna?
A legal situation.
Okay. Go
I'm
ahead,
sorry,
Shauna.
I'm sorry, I'm just having trouble hearing.
Okay, well, tell me your question.
Hello?
Maureen, can you guys hear me?
I can hear
okay,
you.
Okay, well, I essentially am kind of, you know, looking for a lawyer. Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Well, I had been searching for a lawyer, and 2 years ago I had found one, and he turned out to be a real asshole. But anyways, I'm just wondering if you see me finding one and if you see me winning the case.
Let's see. Well, the first thing, I would tell you what I see, honestly, Shayna. I'd love to say to you, yes, it'll all work out perfectly, but what I honestly feel from my guides is for you to question whether it's really worthwhile. You know, sometimes it is important to make a stand, and other times you have to question whether it's worthwhile, whether the cost of the proceedings and the stress of the proceedings are worthwhile. And I feel honestly that there's quite a lot of emotion involved in this situation, and I don't feel that you've got a lot to gain. Now, that's just what I sense and what my guides show me. So I encourage you to consider whether it's worth the cost and whether it's worth the effort, the time, the stress, and really encourage you to balance the potential gain, whether that's a moral gain or a financial gain, against the effort and the cost of the proceedings. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it's
and
really
see,
worth
see me putting more in than I would get back?
Yeah, I don't feel you've got a lot to gain, to be honest. And obviously, I haven't
of,
got all
I
of the
like
details, so I'm telling
sure.
you what I feel intuitively. And you have to balance that input with what you know to be the facts of the situation and the advice that you get from a lawyer. But that's my feeling, that you need to think long and hard about whether it's worthwhile. Do you feel it really is worthwhile?
Okay. And just a quick... Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's just that... And I don't know what you're picking up about, because it was a doctor that had done something bad to me, and I don't know if you see him actually getting kind of, you know, what he deserves, because he's... I know I'm not the only one that he's done this to, and... I don't know if justice will finally be served at some point in time.
Is this teeth related, Shayna? Is it related to teeth?
I'm sorry?
Does it relate to teeth?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because my guides are talking about teeth.
Yes, he's a dentist.
Okay, okay. I feel that he will. I just don't feel that you've got a lot to gain personally. Alone, anyway. And I do feel it's worth you trying to find out if you can be in contact with other people that have suffered the same grievance. But I feel if you go it alone, it's costly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure you'll gain a lot. So you really need to investigate it more and potentially try and find other people that have had problems with their teeth with this guy as well. Okay? But I wish you lots of luck with that, Shayna.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck. And lots of love to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shauna, for calling. Thanks, Steve.
Hello.
Very good. Hi. Whoa. Head me. I'm Maureen, and I'm Pennsylvania.
Hello, Maureen.
Hi.
I was wondering if you could tell me how my divorce is going.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was your name? I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Your name,
Penny.
For some reason, I'm not here. Did you guys hear? I want to be able to call you, but well, it's maybe my some older age. You want to know how your divorce is going? Okay. So obviously, you're involved in it, and you want to know. I get the picture. Okay. This is what I'm getting. You know, it seems like there's now this is what I'm going to, I'm wording this appropriately. It feels like I'm not saying that this is a fact, but it feels like you're fearing a sense of poverty, like you're going to lose much. And I feel that the perception is just how maybe the other side wants you to perceive or the divorce. I don't feel that it's really happening, but I do feel there's a fear. Is your, soon to be ex-husband, does he have a lot of material, money, cash? Is he successful?
His father left him property, and I believe he's hiding money as cash. He's showing no profit in his business, but I believe he's hiding it all.
I got it. Okay. You know, this is the thing I see happening. He does look like he's going to be very... I'm seeing him in the next month or so as looking and appearing like the cat's out of the bag. Because he looks like a man that would have some success in the material way. So if he's been hiding anything, I do see that that's... And actually, it's funny because it's like he wants it to be seen and he's not thinking straight, because if he's been trying to hide it, that would be ridiculous. But it's good for you is what I'm saying. I see you being very, very happy around July or August, like real happy, like things are going really great and the sun is really shining. I do see that there's going to be a delay of getting... And you're powerless to, but still knowing that it's going to happen, I think he might give, for some reason, whatever the attorneys are doing, he might be able to pull it or delay it even more so. I do see that there's a delay of something of material value, whether it be money or land or whatever, that will be getting to you. But I think you will find out, like I said, August, September, you will definitely, but he'll delay it. And whatever, you know that courts will do things like that. Things will always get delayed. Now, I do, everything's going to be really... you'll be fine, but there still seems like a little bit of a delay again, but you'll find out. It's very this is fantastic. Have you been going through this for 8 months or
4 years?
How many 4 years? Four. You know what? Yeah. I'm wondering, 8 months ago, were things starting to kind of get the momentum? 4 years, bless your heart.
What?
Okay. Bless your heart for you, but I'm saying 8 months ago was where there was something that was getting the momentum finally coming. I don't see it going on for years on end after that. My gosh. Bless you. Like I said, you poor thing.
I got a new lawyer about a year ago.
Okay. I see you very, not only very happy, I see you being very fulfilled, like content, like, I'm not saying this in a bad way towards you as a woman. I see a woman that has been well fed, well clothed. You're going to come out, you're what you deserve. You're not a woman that wants to be a kept woman at all. You're a woman that's independent, but you also deserve what you deserve. And it's very reasonable, and it's not right. 4 years, for the love of God, Mary, Lord Jesus, Joseph. I mean, I do see this coming to the end by September. I think it will be completely done with. I do see you outside a lot, and you're really you look very successful, but not just because of what's going on with money that might come from your assessment, but because of what you're going to do. I see you working on your own, and you do well outside around greeners and flowers, plants, and I just see you very spiritually connected, happy, and materially and successful by your own right. So this is almost over, and gosh, I'm glad I didn't start talking to you 4 years ago. That would have been frustrating for me. You've really made it through.
Yeah, I'm just, because he's in my family farm, and it's been in my family farm for almost 200 years, and every room is full of cat shit and garbage.
Oh.
And I'm looking at having to tear the house down because he's depleted it.
I do see you having... I do see August being a very, like, August, September being very good, I think, for that, something like that. And then there'll be, like I said, another delay of anything more. So I see you heading in the right direction for, maybe because you have a great, it doesn't really matter whether you have a great lawyer or not. I see you really, but then there'll be a little bit of a stop or a delay with the last part of I think the money comes to you. Everything is going on track. I know the fear of what's happening now. I do feel that you've been very isolated with this. It's not like you have a lot of support with what's going on. A lot of people,
no.
I mean, support
no.
system, you know?
No, that's, I am that's pretty very, much alone.
Yeah, and that's very difficult. But I feel that really, I know it's been hard, but this is the end. It'll be the end of it. And like I said, by September, October, it'll be done. I see you completely, and it's fantastic, and it's fair, and it's like everything you wish for and desired will be as it should. Definitely very good. And I'm sorry to hear that it's been that's awful to have to experience that. But at least it's behind you, almost all of it. My goodness. People will find out about what he has. I see things moving along and favorably for you, and it as it should, a long time ago. But that's now behind. It's in the past. But moving ahead, I see this being completed, and you being very happy. It's not like having a victory or not. I see you being very happy with what will happen and what it as it should. You look very content. And you can move on. It's fantastic.
He's not going to be trying to pull any more of his dirty tricks or anything.
No, he won't be able to do that. Those days are over. Those days are over. He won't be able to do that. So.
So you said that you see him with money.
I see him. I see him. They're going to. If he's been trying to hide it, he appears to be like everybody will see him as he has something. He won't be able to hide whatever you think he's been hiding. He'll be seen for what it is going on here, and then everything will start moving very quickly from there. Not to worry. Things are going to is turning on your favor. Definitely, he can't keep this up for another year. It won't happen. And your good lawyer, I think that will is helpful. Definitely. So. I need to move on because we have other callers, but I hope I helped you. And just hang in there. It's almost done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. And I wish you well. Bye-bye. Okay. Bob, another call from Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's true.
That is true. Hello, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Okay. I have a kind of a mental problem. I seem to be tormented by emotions all the time, and you know I've lived a long time. I'm 68, and you know a lot of things have happened. In a couple divorces, and unfortunately, my daughter passed on, which is a hard thing. But
yeah.
I was having this trouble before she was in danger, so I can't blame everything on her, you know, all my emotional problems, but it seems like I can't enjoy anything anymore.
Well, I think you know, immediately there's like just there seems.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I think we're on a bit of a delay, so I probably interrupted you when there was a quiet moment. But go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, when I go to a show like Man of La Mancha or something, I end up crying. It's an entertaining show, and, you know, it's just, like, devastating when I watch it, you know, or, you know, songs that I like are on the radio or something like that. It's just... it's ridiculous. I'm just not that way normally.
Yeah. Well, I would start getting used to it. And it's not that what's happening to you is a bad thing. I think there's a couple of things that I'm sensing around this. And first off, whenever anything happens to us, we're immediately judging or putting some kind of an opinion on it. And it that can really stress us out. I don't get bad feelings at all when you're talking about, you know, you start crying and it's, you know, it's supposed to be great songs. I think you're just very, very sensitive. You're more open right now. Part of what I believe causes some of that openness is I also sense a lot of loss around you. There's just a lot, there's just a few people. I've seen like three or four, and your daughter being one of the strongest ones, of them just not being there anymore. And that's caused a lot of loss and a lot of grief and loneliness inside of you. That, in turn, can open up our channels. Sometimes that grief can open up our channels just as much as if we're meditating and trying to open up our channels. I think you're just becoming a very sensitive man. You're becoming less defensive as you used to be. I see you hard as steel. Remind me of Clint Eastwood. I was just shown a picture of Clint Eastwood and that, you know, Clyde, that monkey. So you just remind me of being that tough guy. And I think that that's changing. That also adds opinion to you.
Hello,
I don't want to be that way. You know what I mean? I want to go back to how I used to be, and you're opening up. And so you're judging and opinionizing about that, and that doesn't help. I would, if you can, allow what's going on right now to be okay. Because one of two things that'll happen. One, you'll be able to let go much easier about some of these things. And sometimes what you think is being a problem isn't. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sensing a problem that you're opening up. It's just one of the ways that you're stressed, that this grief is pouring out of you. Crying and laughing are two of our natural release mechanisms. And if you find yourself doing that, it's just because you're not dealing with it ordinarily. So it's, different things are going to trigger that and make the emotions come out. Are you following me so far, Joe?
That's not what I wanted to hear.
Well, you know, sometimes it's not what we want to hear, and it's but it's what we need to hear. But it's not bad. Why is it not what you want to hear? Did you really think there's a problem with you? Do you want there to be a problem with
you?
Well,
I have a, I don't know, maybe. But I have a heart problem, and I feel like I'm going to suffocate sometimes.
Well, I'm sure, and that's a completely different thing. So you're tying in so many different things and making it one issue. But there's different elements going on, and I feel what you just brought up there is a completely whole separate situation. You know?
Yeah,
so I what I'm saying is that I don't think anything's wrong with you, Joe. I think that, that you're a feeling man that has been it's been bottled up, it's been buried for so long, a lot of that having to do with your father. And I think that, by the way, he comes through. Is he the one that's wearing the was he in the military?
No.
Was it your grandfather then? Because there's a man coming up on your father's side that's standing in uniform that's talking about being a father to you.
I think my uncle was the, he was the youngest brother, and I think he was the only one in the family that went in the in World War II.
Okay.
And he actually went to Korea after that.
Because he's acting like a father-type figure towards you, which would make sense if it's your uncle as well. But what I'm saying is that you have support from the other side, and... what you're trying to find out, and unfortunately, again, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to end here in just a few moments, just because we have more callers and such. But the thing is, nothing's wrong with you, Joe. There's just so much that has to come out. So many experiences in your life that have happened that I don't think that you gave fair enough emotional treatment to, and all of that gets blocked up, and then it's just coming out now, you know, and so. It's coming out in ways that you don't necessarily don't understand, don't like, you know, it's in trying to hold it back, but it's happening, and I don't think it's a bad thing. The loss, however, that's the root of all of this. The loss in the mourning that you're going through. There's a lot of grief there. And if you can allow it to happen just as it is, I think you'll be a lot happier and let some of it go. It's because you're hanging on to it and it's not escaping. That's what's causing this lump that you feel of why you can't enjoy anything anymore. You're kind of looking through that. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Well, I hope some of it'll give you some cabbage to chew on anyway, even though it's not what you wanted to hear, but maybe give you something to think about a little bit.
I'm not going to hold it against you. What's truth is truth, right?
Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective, isn't it? But, all right, Joe, listen, I got to let you go. Oh, go ahead, what?
Yeah, I'll let you go. Bye-bye.
Okay, sorry, bye.
Thank you, Bobby.
No, I know we could. I could have talked to him forever.
I know Joe for almost 2 years, I think. And yes, and you did nice. And yes, very nice. Thanks, Joe, for calling. I heard your voice. It was nice hearing your voice.
Sure,
and
talk with you.
And no, it was you. It was lovely. It was lovely. And Brenda. Hello, Brenda. Hello. Call from Florida.
Hi, Florida. What can I do for you tonight?
I was wondering, would I ever meet someone?
Okay, let's take a peek here. Let's see. Not only will you meet somebody, but I see a committed relationship, a happy union in your future. Okay. I really do. I do believe that there's someone from the past who thinks about you a lot, but he hesitates.
Really?
He doesn't do anything about it. So, you know, it's about letting him go in order to, so that the universe, you know, has the reflection that, hey, I'm available. See what I mean? And you want somebody who's going to love you for who you are, too. I think, you know, getting caught up in some things like, well, maybe I need to do this and do that to attract somebody. You know what? You're going to meet somebody when you don't have any makeup on and you're going to be some place. It looks like one of those things where you're going to be walking into a store and there's somebody really wonderful and it's going to be an instant click. And I feel it happens in the summertime. Here he comes. He's born in October. He's an air sign. He's a Libra. Yeah.
Oh.
I feel it happens in the summertime, and I feel this is a karmic connection. There's a reason why you didn't have somebody before, because it just wasn't time. There's an awful lot of things that you had to do for you first.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I see.
Do you remember the name of the past, the person in the past? I'm just curious.
I can't hear you. What did you say?
You know the person that was thinking of me?
Yes, there's a person that was thinking about you. He has dark hair and dark eyes. kind of immature. He could have done a lot more, and he regrets it. But he thinks about you a lot. But it's like he hesitates. He doesn't call. And maybe it's a good thing, because it just feels like, you know, if he calls you, which I feel at some point that he will get a hold of you, it's not going to be about you. It's going to be about closure he has to make within himself, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks good to meet somebody. It really does. You've cleaned house. Now it's time to, you know, open your heart to love, right?
Yes.
Are you ready to meet someone?
Yeah, I am, for a long time.
Okay, because the vibration is around you this summertime, especially in the month of June.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it'll be a random kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Could you tell me a little bit more? Or
well, when I look into him, I feel he's a serious person. I feel that he likes partnerships. He wants to be with somebody. Okay. He wants to be in a committed relationship. The very first card that I drew was the Happy Union card. It could even be a card revolving around marriage as well.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
What now?
That would be great.
Well, you know what? They're still out there, old-fashioned guys, you know?
Yeah,
not somebody who just wants friends with benefits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am looking.
That's what I see. And so it's part of your transformation, honey. You know?
Okay.
And like I said, when you meet him, you're not even going to be like in your hair is going to be, has to be done, and the whole thing, you might even be in sweats. But you know what? He's a true person. And he has, his eyes look like they're light colored, like a hazel or an amber or something like that. They're very unusual eyes.
Wow, that's even great.
Yeah, so
wow, it gives me something to look forward to.
You know it's coming. It really is. And it's just like when I look into it, it's like you're going to build new foundations for a loving relationship this year. Everything else seems like it's doing okay. You know, you're hanging in there.
Could you tell me about my job situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they always talk about cutbacks.
You know, it's interesting. They might be talking about that, but I feel that they're actually going to... you might even hire some more people. Okay, and
wow.
I got to wrap it up, honey. So
okay, well, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. And Steve, Montreal for you.
Absolutely. Who's calling from Montreal?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, it's Brenda. You're actually the person I wanted to get.
Oh, great. What's your name? Sorry?
Kendra.
Kendra.
Kendra, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. How can I help?
Okay. So, you guys had a show a while ago about benevolent outcomes, and I was trying them. Like, I bought his book, More, and, I tried them, but they're not working for me. So I wanted to know, is my guardian angel ignoring me, or are they not existing? Like, do I not have one, or what's going on?
Well, you know, guardians and guides are interesting, and people often get them confused. So a guardian is normally a member of your family in spirit, that passed the spirit before you were born, and that person watches over you throughout your lifetime. And we all have a spirit guardian. So you have a spirit guardian, as everybody does. Now, guides are different. There are usually two or three guides that also stay with you throughout life, but they're not necessarily members of your family. They are wise ones, sages that support you in your path during this lifetime. And you can also call upon other guides, because other guides will come and go depending on what you require as you travel through life. So if, for example, you undertake a particular project at one point in time, then you may well have guides that come in because they can support you with that project. And you can call upon guides. My belief is, if you're operating out of integrity and good spirit, you can call upon any guide that you want. So remember that. In terms of angels, the angels are always with you. They would never turn you away. They would never ignore your request for their presence, their love, or their support. And they're amazing at multitasking, so they can be everywhere and with as many people as need them at any point in time. I feel, in honesty, that your faith's being tested in some way. Why would you think, as a child of God, as a manifestation of spirit and divine intelligence, why would you think that you are not supported or not alone? And is the test actually about your self-esteem?
But they're not answering me. Like, when I ask for things, like, it's not, like, they're not listening to me. They're not answering me.
Okay, well, give, are you able to give me an example of what you're asking for? And if it's private,
well,
private, you don't
you
have
said
to.
Start off.
Sorry?
Pardon?
Are you able to give an example of one of the things you're asking for?
Yeah, I read the book, and he said to start off with asking for little things. So, like, I think I asked for, what did I ask for? I think I asked for something simple, like an object. I think it was a highlighter, actually, because I was reading his book, and I wanted to highlight certain points. He said you can ask for, like, the most mundane things. So that's what I asked for, and it didn't work. But I also asked for bigger things as well, and that didn't work either. Like, I'd asked for a perfect apartment for me because I'm apartment hunting right now, and nothing's come up. Like, I can't even find proper apartments. So nothing from the most mundane to the, like, most significant, nothing's working.
Okay. Well, you're being tested, and, you know, manifestation's an absolutely fascinating field because it's complex, but it's extremely powerful when it works. You're being tested to have faith that these things will happen to you, and you're being tested as well to understand that we don't necessarily get the things that we desire in our time frame. We get them when we're meant to receive them. So you honestly have to trust spirit, and you have to trust that you'll receive what you require when you require it. Now, I've read tons of books on the law of attraction. I really recommend you read the book Quantum Success. I can't remember the name of the lady that wrote it, but it's a brilliant book about the law of attraction. And I really recommend that you get hold of that. It's called Quantum Success. Read that. But
how are you
just setting an intention? Are you just thinking to yourself, "Oh, I want a highlighter pen," or how are you doing it?
No, he had instructions in the book. Like, you guys had an old show on it where he said you can either ask it out loud, you can whisper it, or you can write it down. And I tried all three.
And how long did you give it?
I just asked for, I requested a benevolent outcome for blah, blah, blah. And then that's it. And it's supposed to happen.
It's about timing, because you've got to be very, very clear with manifestation. For example, if you say, "I'm manifesting a blue car," and you follow the rules of manifestation to manifest a blue car, but you're not specific, you might manifest an old wreck of a blue car, because you have to be very, very specific. And I encourage you to be really, really specific and trust that these things will come to you. But don't give up. I've used manifestation a lot, and it doesn't always happen the way I expect it to, and it doesn't always happen in the time frame I'm expecting, but it does always happen. I manifested a beautiful apartment in Brighton, England, that I got for far less than I imagined. And it was exactly what I asked for, but it came when it was meant to. And it came, you've got to be clear as well that your intentions are very pure, that you're not just asking for the sake of asking, that you have a higher intention. But get hold of that book, Quantum Success, it's brilliant.
Okay, I'll check it out then.
Great. Okay, and look on psychicblogger.com as well, because there's a lot of information about the law of attraction on there. It does work, I promise you, it's a way of life. And once you see it works for you, you'll be hooked. So good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, take care.
Thank you, Steve, nice reading.
Bye.
Bye. And this last caller is from Maureen, and caller from Massachusetts. Hi, this is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, who's this?
Rose.
Oh, hi, Rose.
Can't believe I got you, but okay.
That's something special. Okay, I'm ready for
yes.
you.
Okay. So, you know about the guy I met, and I was starting to want, I thought he was sincere, and I was starting to wonder, is he really just a player?
Okay. I got it. You went
with him.
Okay, and I know that that's a fear. You know what? You know, I really don't. And I do know that because I've spoken to you a lot, and maybe you haven't to the other
yes.
people, but you got me anyway. But the thing of it is, I do feel that.
Oh, I'm glad I got you.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't, Rose. I don't see him being a player. In fact, I see him actually, I see that there feels like there's some sense of bad news surrounding, like, well, the whole situation of him not speeding up the process and stepping it up, you know, is kind of a feeling like nothing's, it's kind of bad news. But it isn't really bad news. I also feel that there's something going on around the worker. There's lacking generosity. But I do feel, I see within a two-month period of time, I see a reconnection and like never before. It's like a brand new, it would be like the first time I've ever been introduced to each other. I don't see him doing this with a bunch of other people. I see you being the one. And I do see quite a bit of happiness. I don't see him being a player. I know it would be easier that way then you could explain why he's behaving. But, you know, not everybody's the same with their stuff. I do feel that there's a sense of fear of his money issues. As I was saying before, you know, I'm getting the same stuff. There's the feeling of, but that won't be a problem. The feeling of not having enough, you know, financial, not being grounded. But and I also see that he's going through some, and you know, I think you'll be around for this. He's going through some very interesting spiritual death, which will bring him back to the beginning, which I think his wounds will be able to heal. And this doesn't have anything to do when he met you. This goes way back. But I see you being very happy, and I don't see him playing around. You know, the player. Playing around is what I would call it, I guess, because that's being a player. I really don't. But I do see a reconnection like a brand new connection, like almost like if your minds were erased, you've never met any. And I do see that very clearly. It looks very positive. I can understand your fears.
I sent, you know, a text to see how he was doing, you know, because I haven't heard from him all week. And he told me he had pneumonia, and I was just like, oh, is there anything I could do, you know, whatever. And he was like, oh, that's sweet. And it seems like he always gives me these phrases that keep me at arm's length. So I'm like, maybe he just can't close the door.
No, having pneumonia is not so, no. I wouldn't feel very good. I think that he's just not quite there feeling like he's in his true body, I guess, or is back in his true skin. I think I mentioned that before to you. He's not, I just don't think it's going to be that long of a period of time. I think that he's not good at communicating, or I know that it's easy to interpret the other way. Unless you're talking to him like on the phone, like it's easier instead of the text messaging, like, you know, but no, I still see this very much how I've been seeing this before. I'm not saying for you to wait or anything like that, but I think that you're going to be seeing a little bit more progress, like, even if it's a little, in the next 2 months, you'll see. And I do see, I see you being happy.
Okay.
You know, I know it's easy for me to say.
And you know how I am about patience. Okay.
Yeah, well, just go about your business as you are, but I'm not saying anything of that, but I don't know. I see you having like a redo-over, a new beginning, and that's a fantastic. And I think you can do that with him, because you never really did have a, you know, so young anyway, the relationship. So it's having a brand new connection. It's fantastic, really.
So at this point, I should just back off, not contact.
No, I'm not saying that. I think you ought to do what you need to do. I don't think you ought to back off. I, whatever that means, I know.
Be myself.
Be who you are, how you are. I think that's the best way to be. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks for coming to the show. That's lovely. I appreciate you coming to the show, too. That was great.
And I'm so glad I connected with you.
Bless your heart, Rose. And just be, you're okay. Things will be okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good night, Rose.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And there we have it, everybody. everybody get up and dance. Okay.
Great show, Maureen.
Oh,
really
thank
great show.
The guest was awesome.
Thanks, yes. Thanks to everybody. I guess that $5 a piece.
That Starbucks gift card does wonders.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to have $30 for that because you can't get far. But, you know, that brings us to yet. We all have very good shows, but and I really appreciate everybody, my co-host, as I am their co-host as well. But
Maureen, can I, sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted just to do something funny. The lady that called about the law of attraction and manifestation.
Right.
You know, we were saying that spirit have a sense of humor and things don't always come to us the way we initially anticipate, but they do come. And if she can send Psychic Access an email, then maybe somehow I can send her a highlighter pen just to demonstrate
that
we do get what we ask for. It comes sometimes with a sense of humor, sometimes in a way that we didn't anticipate, and sometimes when it's meant to rather than when we asked.
Good thing. And that, you know what, she could send a comment through, unless she's a, you know, through the comment page on, would that be the best? Well, she would know how to connect with it, sending it through the main thing. Yeah, that's a great idea, and I hope she could, I hope she's, well, she's in the chat room, she could hear that. And yes, thanks, Steve, that's very good, smart thinking that you did that. Absolutely, because that is a very, yes, well, you know what I mean. Absolutely. You know, and I do want to say thank you to Doug, as always, as Doug has been very nice about going that chat room, doing his thing along with being behind the scenes and keeping our butts in shape, keeping us on track and keeping us not from torment. Anyway, next week's show will be anchored by Brenda. And so what do you have planned for us next week, Brenda?
Oh, I can't wait. It's the High Wisdom of Ancient Egypt.
I can't wait either.
John Anthony West.
For the Egypt show.
We've waited
really
3,000 years.
Oh my God. And it's like we only have an hour, but I'm telling you, I'm going to jam pack all kinds of stuff. The pyramids, the Sphinx, the Atlantean, you know, heritage and everything. I'm just excited.
It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. So I say goodbye now to everybody and bless your hearts.
Goodbye, Maureen.
Goodbye, Maureen.
Bye, everybody.
Adios, Maureen.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.